You may or may not be aware of a column in the Los Alamos Daily Post entitled All Shall Be Well. It's a column that appears every other week and has for several months now. It's written on a rotating basis by four local clergy women: retired Lutheran deacon Cynthia Biddlecombe, Pastor Nicolee Ferry from Bethlehem Lutheran Church up in Los Alamos, Mother Lynn Finnegan from the Episcopal Church of the Holy Faith in Santa Fe, and me. We began writing this column to offer an alternative voice to what's already there representing religion and especially Christianity, and to offer support to one another as clergy women. Knowing that what we write is potentially and likely read by people who are not part of any faith community, and with special awareness of those who are not part of any church, any Christian community in particular, when it's my turn to write, I can't help but think of those who are not part of a church on purpose. And not just because they weren't raised going to church, not because it doesn't occur to them to go to church on Sunday morning, not because they really don't care one way or the other, but the idea of making pancakes at home with their family is much more appealing than getting up and getting dressed and going to church. It's not primarily those people that I find myself thinking about. I find myself thinking about those who are not part of a church on purpose. Those who are not part of a church because they have intentionally decided not to be part of a church, because they've deliberately chosen to not have anything to do with church. Maybe because they or someone they love has been hurt by the church. Maybe because they or someone they love has been clobbered over the head, or worse, with the Bible. Maybe because they've seen the church and or people in the church being hypocritical, judgmental, self-righteous, greedy, unforgiving, or just downright mean. Sadly, there's no shortage of reasons why people purposely make a choice to not have anything to do with church. So when I'm thinking about what to write, as someone who in some way in that space is representing Christianity, I can't help but think of the damage that the church and or people in the church have done. Sometimes to people outside of the church, and sometimes to brothers, sisters, siblings within the community of faith. I don't seem able to not be aware of the ways that people who claim to follow Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, the love of God in human form, why those people have offered so many compelling reasons for others to not want anything to do with any of that. And so on that cheery note, we're going to move on to the gospel. And before we move to today's lessons, I want to do just a very quick review of the last two Sundays' gospel lessons, because I feel like there's a pattern that I'd like us, a progression that I'd like us to pay attention to. So two Sundays ago, many of you, most of you, maybe all of you already don't remember, Jesus asked his disciples, does anybody remember? What did Jesus ask his disciples? Who do you say that I am? Who do you, my disciples, say that I am? And Peter proclaimed, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Peter responded by telling Peter not only was he right to make that claim, but that he, Peter, was the rock on which Jesus would build the church. Now call me crazy, but part of what that indicates to me, in addition to the centrality of the acknowledgement that Jesus is the Messiah, is that following Jesus is a communal affair, not a just an individual affair. There is apparently going to be a church, a community of followers of Jesus. So that was two Sundays ago. Last week, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he was heading toward great suffering, suffering that he would undergo at the hands of the religious leaders that would ultimately lead to his death. He also told them, by the way, in that same breath, that he would then be raised from the dead 3 days later, but that did not register at all. He might as well have kept that to himself after talking about the suffering he was going to undergo and that he was going to be killed. So after Jesus said those things, after hearing Jesus say those things about suffering and dying, Peter, in his new, perhaps, authority as the future rock of the church, said, "No, Jesus, you're wrong. That's not going to happen. You are not going to be, you're not going to suffer. You're not going to be killed because we're not going to let it happen." Maybe he said those things out of love. Maybe he said them out of fear. Maybe he said them out of desperation. For whatever combination of reasons, Peter made these outrageous claims. And can anyone remember how Jesus responded? What did he say to Peter? "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You know nothing about how God works." And he went on to look his disciples in the eyes and tell them straight up that being part of the community of believers, being among those who choose to follow him, won't be easy. It will be hard. In fact, it will involve suffering. It will involve some level of denying themselves, some degree of dying to themselves. Jesus told them without mincing any words that making a commitment to live as his followers, making a commitment to living life as part of this community of believers would not be easy. As we read it in the NRSV, Jesus said, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Or as it says in the Message, "Don't run from suffering, embrace it." That was last week. So this week in the passage that we heard Rod read, it seems that part of what we're hearing is that this suffering that will come as followers of Jesus, as part of this community, will not just come from outside the community in the form of persecution, but there will also be suffering that comes from within the community itself, suffering that's caused by other believers. In today's passage, Jesus is telling his followers what to do when, not if, when a fellow believer sins against them. But we might wonder, how could that possibly be? As followers of Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, the love of God in human form, Jesus, the Lord of love, why would believers ever cause suffering to one another? Because we continue to be human. That's why. Part of what I wrote in my most recent All Shall Be Well column is, there's no magic in church. Here's part of what I said. As humans, beautiful and complex, we're each capable of doing things that harm and things that heal, whether we acknowledge it or not, church or no church. As humans, complex and wounded, we each do things that heal and things that harm, whether we admit it or not, church or no church. There's no magic in church that keeps us who participate from always always seeking healing and never inflicting harm. And then I went on to say, but it can be a place to see what it looks like. Church can be a place to see what that looks like. I deeply believe that. When we in the church take Jesus seriously and listen to his teachings, we see what it looks like to extend God's healing to all. We see what it looks like to live fully in God's liberation. We see what it looks like to walk and talk and love and be tender and be firm and be angry, all while being God's beloved. When we in the church take Jesus seriously and consider his example, we see what it looks like to care for those on the margins of society and to walk with those who have been cast out. We see what it looks like not only to tend to ourselves and our own needs, but to also be aware of and attentive to the concerns and needs of those around us, including each other. When we in the church who claim to follow Jesus take him seriously and open ourselves to learn from him, to watch what he does and what he wants and how he lives and how he loves, we can be empowered as a community of believers to do those things, at least to practice doing them. I concluded my last column with these words. In Jesus, we can see what it looks like to fully embody God's love. And in church, with one another, we can try that out. Trying to love and failing. And then trying again. And maybe once in a while succeeding. And then failing again. And then trying again. And when that happens within a church community, in the context of relationships that are grounded in God's love and strengthened by God's grace, that trying and failing and trying again is another way of talking about forgiveness, practicing forgiveness, living within a context of forgiveness, living within a network of people who are seeking healing and wholeness for themselves and for the whole community. Which brings us back to today's gospel passage. I think what Jesus was talking about was all of that. Forgiveness, healing, reconciliation, restoration of relationships among his followers within what would become the church. I have no doubt that Jesus knew that his followers would not succeed in following him, at least not 100% of the time. He knew his disciples. He knew the religious leaders. He knew the masses. He knew their hearts. He knew our heart. He knows our hearts, our fickle hearts. I think Jesus knew that we as his followers would continue to hurt one another. And not just in minor annoying ways like, they parked in my parking spot. You're sitting in my chair. But in serious, damaging ways, in the kinds of ways that we and the world around us have both seen and experienced among and by people in the church. These ways that have led some to want nothing to do with church, with Christianity, with Jesus, maybe even with God. In today's passage, I see Jesus offering a way to address that with one another as fellow believers. As part of a community that will be damaged by unacknowledged and unaddressed hurt, I hear Jesus saying, you will hurt one another. You will. There's no need to have any illusions about that. There's also no need to let it destroy relationships or devastate the community. Knowing our human hearts, Jesus knew and knows that we will not hurt one another. Knowing God's heart, he also knew and knows the potential for a community that is built on forgiveness and reconciliation. The beauty of a community grounded in healing and wholeness. The strength of a community that's committed to seeking restoration and reconciliation for all. Jesus knew and knows that's what the church can be. He knew and knows that that's what life lived together as his committed followers can be. And I imagine that's what God desires and longs for the church. So in today's verses, Jesus is offering guidance for how we get there. First, acknowledge when someone within the community has seriously hurt you. And talk with them about it. That's the first step, and that may be the hardest step. It's easy for me to hear someone say to me, it's not easy, but it's easier for me to hear someone say to me that I've hurt them. And then I want to apologize and I want to make things right. But for me to have the courage to walk up to someone else and say, you hurt me by what you said, that's hard. That's way harder for me. But to do that first, and then if they won't address it, acknowledge it with you, then you take a couple of friends from within the community to assure honesty and safety and accountability. And then if that doesn't work, then you take it to the church. But you keep talking. You keep being honest. You keep having courage. You continue to seek healing and reconciliation in that relationship. And when that doesn't happen, according to Jesus, you keep trying. He says, treat them like you would a tax collector and a Gentile. And I think, I don't know if you read my article in The Overlook, sometimes we think that means, great, we can be done with them. We tried, they didn't listen. Get away. We can get away. Jesus didn't do that with the Gentiles and the tax collectors. He continued to be in relationship with them, continued to love them, continued to interact with them in the hopes of a deeper relationship. And so keep trying. Keep trying. Don't cut ties. And so as Jesus said to his disciples in last week's gospel passage, it's not easy to follow him, to be part of this community. In fact, it's hard, and it will and does involve suffering. Today, we're reminded that not all of that suffering comes from outside of the community. And Jesus shows us what to do with that. In Jesus, we can see what it looks like to not simply walk away when someone hurts us, and also to not simply let them continue to hurt us, but to hold them accountable, grounded in love, and to seek healing while continuing to love. In Jesus, we can see what it looks like to fully embody God's love, and in church, hopefully, with one another, we can practice living that out, trying and failing, and hopefully being forgiven, and then trying again. And all the while, I hope that we can be in this community and be reminded that we and all of God's creation are God's beloved. And then, maybe, with God's help and the support of one another, we can go into the world and offer more healing than harm. May it be so. Amen.